Well, the word's good.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm so thrilled with the series that we're on here on Wednesday nights because, man, if we will just let this get in us and, you know, can I get turned up just a little bit, Kimla? If we could get this in us, praise God, it will change everything. Amen. Hallelujah. And of course, if I get too loud, you just turn me down. I think you even have the power to mute me. Oh, don't worry. I can trump this thing. Don't you worry about that. Praise God. Well, go with me to John chapter 14 in verse 15. John 14 in verse 15. You know, one thing we have to understand when stressing to people, you know, to be in church, to hear the word of God, this is our manual, this is our instructions that teach us how to live abundantly, an abundant life. You know, it would be nice if just being a Christian would qualify us for abundant life, or you'd automatically walk into the arena and the flow of abundant life. But we know being a Christian automatically qualifies us for heaven. But it doesn't qualify us to live victoriously down here and have an abundant life. And, you know, we have a choice, amen? And what we have to recognize and understand is that God, even though He is rooting for us, has made every provision for us to be blessed, wants us to experience His highest and best, He will let us live ignorant. He will let us live confused. He will let us live sick. He will let us live broke. He'll let us live depressed, you know. He's offered us higher. And why do I start the service or say that? Because this whole thing of learning about the Holy Ghost, knowing the Holy Ghost, cooperating with the Holy Ghost, literally can mean life or death, poverty or prosperity, sickness and health, favor or not favor, because the Spirit of God is how God is leading us into those things. And so here we are on a Wednesday night, and you know, we're here a lot, you know, we come to church, and it can be so tempting for it to be mundane or repetitive. But I'm telling you what, the ones that are hungry to hear and to do, you are the ones that will see the changes in life. It's not up to Him whether or not we receive changes. And I heard a statement years ago, and it just stuck out with me so much, that how our life turns out. Now, religion won't tell you this, but how our life turns out has way more to do with us than Him. And this is crucial stuff here. Praise God. So let's get all that God has for us. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, they may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And then you can go over to John 16 and verse 7. So Jesus, in those past verses, while you're flipping over to John 16, he said, "I'm going to pray the Father, he's going to give you a comforter. It's going to be the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He's going to be with you and dwell in you." John 16 and verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient," that word means advantageous or profitable for you, "that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," that's who we just talked about, the Spirit of God, "will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send them unto you." And if you drop down to verse 13, Jesus said, "Howbeit when he," so he tells us who that Comforter is again, "the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And then flip over a couple books in the Bible, a few books in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 9. These are our review golden scriptures that we're building from. So we have the Spirit of God that's with us, that's in us, whose job is to guide us and to show us things to come. Well, what are these things he's talking about? "But as it is written," 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save or except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." And this is the verse right here. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Why? Because Jesus said, "If I go away, I'll send him to you," to the believer. He says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Guide us, show us, know the things that are of Him. And we've shown you examples already in the Word where people didn't get into things until they followed that leading of God. Given you examples of other people that walked into great increase through the leading of the Spirit. Testimonies of my own life of things that God had prepared for Mike Anderson from the beginning of the foundations of the world, but that I didn't ever enter into or receive until I heard from the Holy Spirit that my mind, my flesh, outward circumstances, the checkbook, you know, pressure, different things like that, all testified that I couldn't have something, but the Spirit of God said otherwise, and then I cooperated with that, and He showed me how to receive those things. Well, there's just things that you know, you receive as a Christian, and there's blessings for doing the Word, but there's also things that God has for us that we'll never see or experience or get into unless we know how to hear and listen and obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that's what we're attempting to do. Praise God. And we have inside of us the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, future and back God. Amen. He's been there. And the God that loves us, who's not playing hide and seek with us, He's actually a revealer of secrets. And I'm thrilled because not only in this series are we going to show you some of these things that we've looked at and talking about the Holy Ghost, but we're going to get you into a place and position yourself to be able to hear from Him. Because let's face it, the things we're struggling with, He's not struggling with them. They're not hidden to Him. He's not confused. He doesn't not know the answer. He's not ignorant to anything in the world. And so we got to learn about Him, know about Him, find out how to cooperate with Him to get those answers from Him to receive. Amen? Well, in Romans 8, chapter 14, we'll go there next. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. We've been looking at the past few weeks how God isn't leading us. And why do we need to point that out? Because I am sorry to say, and I have been there. I'm like Cy Sperling of Hair Club for Men. I'm not only a client, I'm the president, right? And I could say, I'm not only a client of doing things this way. I could say I've been the president before of what? The president of following my flesh, the president of following my emotions, or being led by the dollar bill, or being led by convenience, or being led by fear, or being led by pressure, being led by my mind, my own thoughts. And we saw that is not how God is leading any of us. And it's dangerous to go by those leadings, especially when the Bible says those are the very things, the mind and the flesh, that need to be wrangled in, that need to be changed, that need to be worked on once we become saved, because they still want to act like and go the ways of the world. But the Bible tells us clearly, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, the Spirit of God, Jesus said what? Will come, be with you, dwell in you, and what? Guide you and show you things to come, the things which are freely given to us of God. And so it says we're led into those things by the Holy Ghost. Now quickly go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. How do I get there? Well, remember this, General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Right after company or Colossians, we get into Thessalonians. So how do I get to 1 Thessalonians? General Electric Power Company, 1 Thessalonians. There it is, right there. So, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your," talking about you, "whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord." Notice what this tells us, that we are a three-part being. Three separate parts make us up, or we are comprised of three separate parts. Spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, of course, is the part of you, the inward man that was born again. Because how many of you know when Jesus talks about being born again, was it Nicodemus that had trouble with that doctrine? He said, can a man, was it Nicodemus? Yeah, it was Nicodemus, right? Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, what was he talking about there? Nicodemus said, how is that possible? You'd hop back in your mama and be born again? He said, no, it's not a physical. I don't think that's how he said it, but that's kind of how he said it. And Nicodemus was confused by that. How do you be born again? And Jesus said, well, it's not a natural rebirth. Well, we know by being more knowledgeable and getting revelation of the word, it's talking about the inward man, the real us, the one that lives on forever, that became brand new at the new birth. Amen? Hallelujah. But also we have a soul, which is the mind, the will, and emotions of a person. And we also have a body or the flesh. And so the Bible says we're a three-part being, but notice he says, I'm only leading you in Romans 8:14 by one of those things. I'm only leading you by one of those things. Well, we're a three-part being. That means somewhere and make the part of us that's made up of us is how we're being led by God. And if we jump back to Proverbs 20 and verse 27, and then we're going to go forward. It's kind of, I think this is the verse we left off last time, Proverbs 20, 27. We'll jump off from here where he says this, the spirit of man, Proverbs 20, 27, the spirit of man. Well, we just talked about that we are made up of a spirit. Amen. Your body is not the real you. If you, you know, we've had people that passed away, you know, and we've been to, probably all of us at some point have been to funerals, the open casket, right? And there's the body. That's just the shell. The shell stays here, but the body houses the real us. The body is just the earth suit for the real us. Amen. But the Bible here tells us the spirit of man, not the soul of man, not the body of man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What's he saying? That's how I lead you, by your spirit. But then he goes a step further and he says, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So people say, where is that spirit man? So the Bible says that there is a, and what we like to use the terminology as the inward man, the hidden man of the heart, which is what? The Holy Ghost, the spirit of man. The Holy Ghost dwells with inside of our spirit, with our spirit. And the Bible says that's in the inward parts of the belly, that's in this region. So the spirit of man is right in here. The Holy Ghost is also right in here. And we know that by what we're going to look at next. And so here we have the Holy Ghost. We're told to be led by the Holy Ghost. So now it's time to start getting into how actually do we be led, or how actually are we led by the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. So remember in verse 14, he said, we're led by the Spirit of God. Well, what does that mean to be led by the Spirit of God? If God's not leading us through our thoughts, if God's not leading us through our body or our emotions or our feelings or what our eyeballs say or you know, what pressure says or what money says, how then does God, if the Holy Ghost is something we can't see and dwells on the inside of us, how then does God lead us? Well, in verse 16, it tells us. Now, remember, Jesus called the Spirit of God him. He didn't call it an it. The translators here missed this one, but they said in verse 16, the Spirit should read himself. Beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But notice how God communicates something to us from him. Remember what Jesus said about the Spirit of truth, that he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he also speak. Well, the Spirit of God is God, is in tune with God, is hearing from headquarters. But then how does it get answers? How does it get revelation? How does it get direction to us? It tells us right here. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So inside of us, if you could look into the spirit realm, x-ray vision, into the spirit realm and see what's going on inside a person's body, and looking through the spirit realm would be looking through all their bones and arteries and things. It would just be a spiritual picture, and you would see your spirit man, and you'd see also the Spirit of God in there in the spirit realm, if you could have that kind of spiritual x-ray vision. And what would be going on there when God's trying to lead you and God's trying to direct your path. Remember, he says, come to me with everything, acknowledge me in all your ways, lean on your own understanding, I'll direct you. So say you go to him, you're asking God, what do I do about this? What do I do about this situation? What's going on with this in my life? Why is this not changing? This person's coming against me. Whatever it is, you go to him, you know he's got the answer, we've learned that. Nothing catches him by surprise, nothing is confusing to him, he's not in the dark on any of it, he sees it all, he knows it all, he's got the answer. We also know he's a God that reveals secrets, he's a show and tell God. What's he say? Call unto me and I will answer you, right? Seek, find, knock, it'll be open, ask, receive. He's not holding anything back. You have not because you... He's telling you over and over again, I want to get answers to you. I want to help you. So we know that. So we go to him with something and then we ask him, well, what's going to happen then is our flesh is going to try to direct us. Our thoughts are going to try to direct us. Money and outward circumstances, pressure, fear, guilt are all going to try to direct us. But the only place that God is leading by is the Spirit of God. And the way he does it is he tells the Holy Ghost the answers, the solution to whatever it is, the revelation, whatever you need. And inside your spirit, what would be going on is there would be an exchange of information. The Holy Spirit would then bear witness, just like in this verse it says we bears witness that we're the children of God. There's times I can't tell you that I feel saved. I don't feel saved all the time. There's times where feeling wise, is heaven really real? And my feelings, don't misunderstand, my feelings. And thoughts come into me, is this whole thing even real? Thoughts come into me. But the Bible says that we've been given the earnest of the Spirit, or a down payment that testifies of these things to come. Well, I don't care what my mind says, what my flesh says, or what any other human being would say, they can't talk me out of what I know in my spirit that the Holy Ghost has told my spirit, Mike Anderson, you are a child of God. Mike Anderson, you are going to heaven. Right? Hallelujah. I just thought of Mari Povich. You are not the father. Wah, woo, woo. Bump, 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 bump. When the music started. Mike Anderson, you are a child of God. Bump, bump, bump. Celebration comes. Hallelujah. That's just what ripped through my head in the moment, you know. But how do I know that? It's not because I feel it. It's not because I think it at times. Sometimes I wonder, how in the world could I be saved, you know? But my spirit knows because the Holy Ghost testifies of it. So when you ask something from God, the Holy Spirit, or ask God what to do, the Holy Spirit is going to tell your spirit the answer. Amen. And so then that is why it's so important that we learn to follow the Holy Ghost, that we learn to follow or learn to hear what he's saying. Amen? Praise God. Now notice this. The Bible says that we're led by the Spirit of God and that the Holy Ghost will bear witness or testify to our own spirit what is what. Notice that we're not led. We mentioned some other things, and it's important to bring this out too. We're not led by mind and emotion and feelings and money and pressure and guilt. But you know what else we're not led by? We're not led by prophecy. This is a problem in the body of Christ, because the body of Christ as a whole, this is so dumb, but I had a friend one time who I just said as a whole, it made me think of this. I had a friend who had a friend that was a proctologist. And they said to him, I hear proctology as a whole is not all that it's cracked up to be. I guess it's comedy hour at the family church. But anyways, as a whole, the body of Christ. As a whole, the body of Christ, a lot of times are led by things that appease their flesh, things that appease their mind. And God's not leading that way. And so we crave things like prophecy because it's dramatic. And also, let's be honest, It's nice to have a minister stand before us and tell us things, what to do and what's going to happen. That's just nice. My flesh likes that, right? I don't have to pray. I just hear it, you know, and it's wrong, but that's the way it is. We're not led by dreams. We're not led by visions. We're not led by voices. You know, the dangerous thing is these are all outward things. Visions, dreams, voices, prophecies. Do you know who can duplicate outward things? The devil can duplicate outward things. Oh, the devil absolutely could influence a human being to give a prophecy to somebody else that's not God. The devil absolutely can influence dreams. The devil can speak. Voices, visions. The devil's supernatural. He can do these things. And if you are just a spiritually blind Christian that just goes by what a minister says, now if it's the word, it's different. If it just goes by what a minister says, oh, I had a dream and so I'm going to... When it's God, the Holy Ghost will also testify, bearing witness to the prophecy, the dream, the vision, and the voice. Amen? So a minister stands and so anytime something's given to you that you think is spiritual, if your own spirit does not, if the Holy Ghost hasn't testified, it doesn't sit right in your own spirit, you throw it out. You throw it out. I had a woman come up to me. This was so sad. I had preached at this church in Jamestown. It was weird how it even happened. They asked me to come on a Sunday night. And this woman came up to me just in tears after, and she said, I preached on faith at that church. And so she was talking about how she's standing in faith, and I got digging a little bit, and she said, well, it was prophesied by a minister years ago that I was going to marry so-and-so. Well, she's in her old age now. She was waiting at that time over 25 years. She took that, never prayed about it, never sought God on it. Just, that's what the minister said. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, amen? If it doesn't bear witness, you know, one time I woke up and I had a dream. It was actually a dream about Jeff. And yeah, I'll just say what it was, because it was, I had a dream that Jeff had died. Well, when I woke up, I thought, oh, crap. Do I need to call Jeff? That was my thought. And I knew the dream was from God. I knew it was from God. I knew that. I had the knowing of that. But when I woke up, I thought, oh, man. Well, I could have just ran with that because that's what the dream said. But the Spirit of God, knowing that, that's not what it was. Because in the dream, what the dream was to show me was how hard in my life and ministry would be without him. And to make sure to appreciate, to tell him this. And when I first told him, I said, listen, you're not going to croak. I want to get that straight. This is not what this is about. Like, because I could just imagine, you see the look on his face, you know, that's not what this is about. And I said, no, Lord, because, you know, a lot of times Jeff feels like he's not important, but I tell you, he's so vital to me. You know, I show up here every service and his truck's there, every single service. I mean, I don't even know when the last time you missed church was. And I get here and I know everything's in order and he's got my back and he's so loyal and so kind to me. And I mean, he said he would lay on my feet in the old building when it was cold. I mean, did he mean it? I don't know, but he said it. I'm guessing he probably meant it. He probably meant it. But he's a vital supply to my life, as so many of you are as well. But it was specifically about him and to encourage him. And so, but there's a case where just take that dream as it is. Oh, I got to warn Jeff that he's going to die. But that's not what it was. It was because in the dream, I felt that loss. I felt that loss. And so I told him, and he's still here. So praise God. And this was years ago. Hallelujah. But you can't just run with these things. Amen? You can't just run with these things. The safest way to live life is to follow the inward witness. See, the devil can duplicate voices. The devil can duplicate visions. The devil can can duplicate or replicate dreams, and he can influence a person the wrong way to say things to somebody, right? We're human beings, right? That's why I tell people, if I say something to you, and I learned this from my pastor, from Brother Hagin, if what I'm saying doesn't also bear witness in your spirit, throw it out. You're not led by Pastor Mike Anderson. You're led by the Holy Ghost. And the devil can duplicate, but what the devil can't duplicate, which keeps you safe, he cannot duplicate the voice of the Holy Ghost. He can't duplicate that inward witness. And that's why it's so vital that we learn to be skillful. And the problem with this whole thing, and why Christians struggle to maybe ever step over into this place of spirituality to get to this place, is the leading of the Spirit, the bearing witness of the Holy Ghost. This is the way that God will primarily, I mean, almost 100% of the time, day to day, lead his children. And why is that a problem for Christians? Because Christians are carnal, and the inward witness, the leading of that, as much as it is supernatural, and it is not very spectacular. A word is spectacular. Prophesying in front of the whole church and giving someone a word about their future, that's spectacular to the mind, to the eyes, to the flesh. Dreams, visions, voices, are what? Spectacular things. And can God use those things? Yes, but your spirit would still bear witness with those if they're him or not him. And so the leading of the Spirit is so not spectacular on a daily basis, but it is so darn supernatural. Oh, it is so supernatural. Praise God. And that's how he's leading, not through voices, not through writing on the wall, not through dreams, not through visions. He's leading by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I heard the audible voice of God. Well, I'll say it this way. I can't say it came from God's voice. I don't know if it was Jesus, if it was God, if it was an angel. But I heard in a service one time and one time only, when I had gotten saved and I had given my heart to the Lord, and I still was kind of messing around and one foot in, one foot out, lukewarm type stuff, and just not really receiving the benefits of this new salvation and being a child of God. And so finally I sold out to God, said, I'll do whatever you want. I'll go to China or Africa. I sold out to him. I mean it. I'll go. And it was the next service that I was in with Pastor Michael that I was sitting in one of his services, and he was in a salvation call. And I heard out loud, I mean, again, it must have been in the spirit realm because nobody else heard this. I heard loudly, go to Rhema. Well, I knew what that had meant because I had started learning about Brother Hagin and the Bible school Pastor Michael went to, and I heard go to Rhema. Well, I'll tell you what, you have a dramatic experience like that because my head shot up and I look around to see who just interrupted Pastor Michael because he didn't skip a beat in his salvation call. And everybody still had their heads bowed and eyes closed, and Pastor Michael didn't miss a step, you know, just kept going. So I thought, well, nobody heard this. This was spiritual. And because it was so crazy to me, you know, I had not been around spiritual things that much. I mean, the hair on my body just stood up. And I had goosebumps. I mean, there again, it's things you could be led by, right? Like, well, you know, it moved me emotionally. That was God. No, it doesn't mean it was God. But the thing was about it is as I went from that place and pursued God more, I didn't just all of a sudden from that place say, I'm going to Rhema now. I'm just going to pick up and go to Rhema. No, it was the leading in the inward witness that lined up also with that voice. If you just follow a voice and don't check in here, there's many voices in the world, the Bible says. The devil can speak, the devil can influence. You better get it in here. How many people have shipwrecked their life for years by just listening to what somebody told them they should do? Well, I respect them. They're prayer warriors. You know, they're faithful in the church. And they told me I should marry that person. They told me I should take that job. They told me I should do this. But what is God saying? Amen? Better get it right. Hallelujah. So anyways, the Spirit of God. So I want to help you more with this, with the short time we have left here. So mind, spirit, soul, and body. Feelings are the voice of the body. we're trying to get from our spirit. Feelings and emotions are the voice of the body. Reasoning is the voice of the mind. But conscience is the voice of your spirit, okay? Recognize that now. So, and we're going to look at some scriptures here. Again, feelings and emotions are the voice of your body. Reasoning, weighing things out, trying to, it's the voice of your mind. But conscience is the voice of your spirit. Praise God. Go with me to Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. I'm going to look at some verses here. We're just going to go through some verses real quick. Hallelujah. Paul said this in Romans 9, 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. What's he saying? They're the same. They're working hand in hand, right? What's the conscience? It's your conscience. It's the voice of your spirit. Go to Acts 23 and verse 1. Acts 23 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. We're learning, huh? We're going to be skillful. I've been reading things about people that followed the Holy Ghost. And I remember this, Brother Hagin had a revelation, a vision of Jesus. And Jesus talked to him for a while about some things. And one of the things he said was, I can't remember the percentage it was of the majority of the way I'm going to lead my children through the leading spirit. But he said, if you'll learn to follow my spirit, first thing he said is, I'll make you rich. Amen. And he went on to talk to him about some other things. And so there's such benefit to knowing the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, look at gas prices. Shooting through the roof, right? I mean, it's like, I saw, is it a GIF, a meme? I don't know what they're getting. It was one of those things where it showed a person standing there all excited. It's from a TV show I like. It was a guy standing there all excited. And there was a woman behind him, like a sneering look, like kind of devious. And the thing read over top of it said, for the man, it said, me excited thinking that we're going to have our first normal summer in a few years. And in the back of the woman, over top of her head, it says, Putin. Like I'm going to mess. It's not going to be normal. You know, and it is. It's messing. Right? We're seeing things and threats and things like this. And so, why do I say all that? Well, here we've seen these back-to-back world events that are affecting our daily lives. We are having to pay more money. Right? Don't get me started on the Keystone Pipeline. We'll just leave that for another time. But anyways, I mean, my God... Lord knew what he was doing when he put everything we needed under our feet, but God forbid we take it out of the ground and get it. Okay, I said it. I'm not happy about this. That's why we need to pray for the right people. Open eyes, Lord, open eyes, open eyes. But anyway, so now there's a crazy person across the ocean who just wants to be a dictator, and that's actually causing us over here to pay more when we go to the gas station. So who knows the things we're going to see on this earth that's going to affect our bottom line, affect our dollars, affect what we have. All that stuff God already knew was going to happen, has an answer for, but are going to have to be drawn out by the leading of the Spirit. Because there might be a time where, I mean, coronavirus showed us people lost jobs, people lost money, where there's things that come on the earth that God's like, Well, I don't care that you're not getting a paycheck. I don't need that to meet your needs, but I do need you to follow the steps that I have, because God's not coming out of heaven and saying, here, go here, go here, go here. No, the way he does things is he leads by the leading of the Spirit. So we better get this in us. Amen. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. What did I say before I did all that? Acts 23 and verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. There he is talking about that conscience. Acts 24 and verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to always have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. that conscience over and over and over again, wanting that conscience to be clean, wanting that conscience to be clear, wanting that conscience to be right. And your conscience will be right if you listen to the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19, this verse here is so, can be so alarming. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19. Look what Paul says. Holding faith and a good conscience. Notice this. Which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You put away faith to follow the Holy Ghost, first of all, it is a faith act. Amen? You know, when the Spirit of God, you know, there's times I'll tell you, I'll call something out in a service like this where there's a handful of people. And I'll be praying, figuring we're going to close service, and all of a sudden something's dropped in me, whether we need to pray, we need to slow down, we need to call something out. And when I do that, I'll tell you, the mind and the flesh, they get terrified. Because you don't know. First of all, did God really say that? You know, the mind and the flesh are telling me that. And then, is there someone really here that needs to hear that or whatever? And so that's what's happening in the mind and the flesh. But when you follow that prompting of the Holy Ghost, it's faith. If you put away faith and you put away the following of the Spirit of God, you know what the result is in your life? Shipwreck. That poor woman, no doubt, that was told by a minister, you're going to marry so-and-so. To me, it's such a sacred thing when you say something over somebody's life. Like, and maybe this is wrong of me in the sense that maybe there's been times I've pulled back and I should have. I'm going to err. If I err, it's going to be on the side of caution and not just... That's why sometimes I wrestle with it up here and say, okay, no, I know for sure I need to say that or minister that way. Because let's be honest, you ought to be able to trust your pastor. His voice ought to be something in your life that you can depend on. And so I don't want to take that lightly and just throw things around and lord over your life and say, well, you know, I was just talking to someone the other day and they were talking about how they said, no matter what my pastor says, they were talking about how they were troubled by this, no matter what my pastor says, I'll do anything he says. That's dangerous. Do whatever God is saying. And if you have a good shepherd, he'll be speaking in line with what God is saying. But I just think that's how dangerous that minister, who that person respected, to say that when they're just going by, I'm guessing just going by natural things and what they think they see and what they think could be and putting things together. God doesn't think like we think. God doesn't work like we work. That's why it's so vital to hear that. But if you put away that, where you just neglect what the Holy Spirit's saying, it can lead to shipwreck in your life. Shipwreck financially, shipwreck relationships, emotionally. And so we can't put away. Why? Our conscience. We have to give heed to our conscience. Why? It's the voice of our spirit. Now, go to Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Can the conscience be trusted? Can we trust our conscience? Because unsaved people have a conscience. They have a conscience. You know, how can you trust that? Only if and only if this. Well, we'll show you another thing that you have to do to make sure you're keeping in check, but you have to be born again. You have to be born again that you can fully trust that, because look what it says in Hebrews 9, 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God? Of course, we are receivers of that blood of Christ as believers. Notice this, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The conscience of a person needs to be purged in order for the Spirit of God to be able to speak and it be ministered to us that way. You have to be born again. Amen? Hallelujah. You have to be born again. You know, it's crazy how the difference, and I don't mean to be crude when I tell this story. It's just such a way to look at it so clearly. I had just gotten born again in 2002, and shortly after that, one of my best friends growing up, it was me, Tim, and Jill was her name, grew up all together. Pastor Tim, that's who I'm talking about, and then Jill. And we grew up real close, and she's the one that I was the maid of honor in her wedding, right? And had me stand up with her, and it was a great honor. You know, I was blessed to do that. But, you know, with that, one perk is I got to go to the bachelorette party. Okay, he can't keep me out. I mean, I'm the maid of honor. And so I got to hang out all day and all night with a bunch of girls. I mean, that was tough for me back then, you know, really broke my heart, you know. But anyways, I was just got born again. The first time and last time after I got born again that I was, so it was the first time and it's still the last time that I've ever been intoxicated or drunk was that night. And I used to get drunk all the time, like addicted to alcohol, couldn't just wanted to be in that state all the time. And I never thought anything of it, you know, just do it and do it and do it, just keep doing it, and every week after week, day after day. And I got drunk that night, and I'm laying there that night after going to the clubs and getting drunk and bars, and something was eating away at me. All of a sudden, my conscience was bothered. Why? Because when I got born again, my conscience was purged from the evil and dead works, and now it's open to hearing from the Holy Ghost, which is in me, which is relaying, this is not for you anymore. And it was such a stark contrast of how I felt. It wasn't even, I ended up getting into guilt over it, but it wasn't like I felt guilty. I just, something felt really off and wrong about it all of a sudden. I didn't know why back then. Now I know why. My conscience had been purged. I had a new man on the inside. The Holy Ghost was telling me this is not the way to live your life anymore. Amen. Praise God. Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2. Romans 12. We've been going for about 30, 35 minutes. I do keep track, you know. Don't want to keep you here all night. But Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. What's it telling you there? Your body's going to be loud. You need to do something about your body. Because if your body stays loud, it's going to confuse you. And then he goes on to say, and be not conformed to the world, so don't leave this out either, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's he saying? You better get your mind in check too. So can you trust your conscience? Yes, but also understand this. If you don't get your mind and get your body in check, they're going to be loud and they're going to be vying for your attention. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to, you know, one thing too that will help you with the Spirit in a leading, it will always line up with the Bible. Amen. It'll always line up with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Isaiah 55 and verse 12. I want to keep going into this. 10 more minutes, we'll finish here. But like I said, we've only been going for 35, and I mean, man, we'll watch our favorite shows there an hour, you know. And I wanted you to get this so we can start to learn. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. So we have a Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are a spirit that the Holy Ghost communicates to our spirit, bears witness. So then that begs the question, when we ask God something, or how do we know it's us? How do we know if it's God? How do we know if it's not God? And yes, it does take training, because what is some of the most training it takes? Shutting your mind up, shutting your body up, being where God needs you to be, amen? But Isaiah 55 and verse 12, this will help you. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Well, remember, the Bible says we're led by the Holy Ghost. Well, God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But what he's saying there is that the way we're led is in here, that peace, to know what's God, what's not God, is you'll have peace when it's him. You'll have a lack thereof when it's not. Where? In here. Not here and not here. In here. You'll have that peace. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And I believe next week we'll show you how to start positioning yourself to get clarity on his voice and your feelings, your emotions, all that. Colossians, remember, General Electric Power Company. So Colossians 3:15, look at this. And let the peace of God rule or reign in your hearts, to which also you're called one body, be thankful. Lynn, would you be able to pull that up in the Amplified? Colossians 3, thank you, verse 15. So remember, he says you're going to be led by peace. And now it says, let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as an umpire. And I'm going to get to a story here. Continually in your hearts, notice this, what it's saying to do about peace. Deciding and settling with finality. So whatever peace is saying, you let it decide, and it'll be the final answer. All questions that arise in your minds. What do I do? What do I do? What's peace saying? Let peace decide that. Now, I love the example it uses because it speaks to my heart. Baseball example. I mean, there's other sports where they do call the official the umpire, but that it's widely known that baseball is... Well, I know it's a little different now with instant replay that, you know, what the umpire says now can be overturned, but not when baseball was started and not the idea of baseball before technology was introduced. What basically was the umpire? The umpire called the game, enforced the rules of the game. And in a game, the umpire had the final word, right? No matter what the umpire said, didn't matter what you thought you saw or whatever, it's the umpire had the final say. You know, I'll tell you that one thing that I was decent at was baseball. And growing up, I always played on teams where I was put on as a younger one, played with older kids, which was really good for me. And I remember one time going up against a kid, and this is still Little League. So I'm like, Little League was 8 to 12 years old. I'm probably 10 years old, and if you think I was small, I'm small now. Can you imagine what I looked like when I was 10? Actually, I think I looked the same. I probably don't think I grew ever. Pastor Tim and I used to be the same size, and all of a sudden something happened one summer, and he went up there, and I stayed down here. But anyways, I remember facing this older kid who was getting ready to move up to Babe Ruth where the field gets bigger, and this kid looked like a man. I mean... like facial hair as a 12-year-old, you know, one of those type of people, tall, big, and his last name was Graves. And I came up to bat, and he played only six innings in Little League. I came up to bat in the bottom of the sixth inning. We were down by one run, with a man on second base and a man on third base, and I went up against him, and I had never seen anyone throw this hard in my life, and I was naturally terrified because. Little League, it's a lot closer than the distance. It's like 45 feet versus 60 feet, 6 inches in the major leagues. That's quite a big distance in how big he is. It looked like he should have been playing in my dad's rec league. I think he did play in my dad's rec league, and he forged his birth certificate or something. But anyways, and I came up with the bases low, or man on second, third, down by one, bottom of sixth inning, two outs. And he threw a pitch. It was so fast, I was behind the ball. And when you're behind the ball, you hit it towards the right. You know what I mean behind is you swing late. But he threw a fastball, and I got the barrel of the bat on that thing and hit a line drive right down first baseline. And the ball clearly went over the first base bag and landed in play. It was clear. And I'm going to first base celebrating, and the crowd's going nuts. They can't believe I just had a hit off this guy. I mean, everybody's packing up and going home when I come up, a little guy going up against him. And I win the game, and I hear the umpire yell, foul ball. And my heart just sinks because I know what he says goes. We didn't win the game, and I got to step back in against that man-child. Whatever that thing is, I got to step back in the box against that thing. And I remember being devastated, and my coaches are in the umpire's face, and you know, this and that. And of course, I get up, and the next pitch, he says, we're not going to deal with this guy anymore. He beans me right in the shoulder, and oh, did that hurt so bad. We went to first base, and we ended up striking out the next kid, and we lost. But here's my point. what the umpire said. It did not matter what I saw. It didn't matter what I thought about it. Whatever he said was the final say. And the Bible tells you that you are to let peace act like an umpire acts, which means what? No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, no matter what you see, whatever peace is telling you, that is your direction. Amen. What does that mean? It's like having a, I'll give you some words. It's like a velvety feeling. It's like a green light, right? A green light in there. It's the best way I can explain it. And one of the ways you really learn this is when you violate this and you go back and say, oh, or when you know you're not supposed to and you go ahead and do something when you know you're not and you say, oh, I know what that yucky feeling was. And that, we'll get to that one in a quick second here. But one of the things that greatly changed my life was when, with friendship and in my home and going forward and recreation and fun, was when I was looking for a new bow. And I had gone to a place in Pennsylvania to get a bow, and this archery shop had closed down. And so everybody that went to that archery shop was recommending go to this other archery shop in Pennsylvania. And I had shopped there and bought a lot of stuff there. And so I started to go there. And now we get into the bad. Just had a check in my spirit to go there, but also was prompted to call somebody else. But when I was told the person to call was somebody that I knew was associated with the archery shop that I go to now, which is my Amish friends. I knew this person had gone to them, and I really didn't have much respect for this person or didn't really approve of a whole lot of things. So their word didn't mean much to me. But the Spirit prompted me to call this person and to ask them about this archery shop. And because my thought, they're Amish. How do you get a hold of an Amish person without driving there? I didn't know they could have a phone somehow. Amish loopholes, I'm telling you, they're there. I joke around about them all the time. I say, you're allowed to do this and not this. And we kid about it. You know, so much so I told you they were at my house and played Weird Al's Amish Paradise for them. And they were cracking up, slapping their knee, you know. So that's the kind of relationship we have. And so I thought, I don't know how to get a hold of this. So I have to get a hold of this person, the only person I know. And I have this peaceful, green light, velvety feeling that's what I'm supposed to do. So I call the person, said, no, you can call. They're in the shop certain times. They have a phone there, and they'll answer. Oh, okay. So I didn't want to call them. I didn't want to go to that archery shop. I didn't want to do business there. I had stereotypes in my head. I had thoughts of, you know, I don't like change. I wanted to stick with what I knew. And I had this velvety, green light, peaceful feeling that was saying, call Ravelin Hill Archery. Call Ravelin Hill Archery. And so I did, and it turned into this wonderful friendship. And, you know, I've gone into those stories before, but what was that? It was following that peaceful, even though my eyes, my ears, and my feelings didn't want to, amen? But what about on the opposite end of the spectrum? And we'll close with this. When is it not? When it's not peace. And the only way I can describe it is there's a check there. There's a scratching. There's a heaviness in there. It's not light and easy. It's unrest, I guess you'd say. You know, it's like a red light instead of that green light. And again, we need to position people, because you even tell people this and say, I don't know if it's God, if it's me, or, and I know that's the way I lose a lot of people. You know why that is? I'm just going to tell you why that is. I'm not trying to be mean or hurt anyone, but you're just too carnal. It's just the truth, and I've been there, and there's times I have to just be like, you need to knock that off, and you need to get where God is giving out answers, because what does it mean being carnal? You're given to the things of carnality, and your flesh is so loud that you can't discern what's you. Is my flesh just like this, or is that peace? You know, we struggle with these. Does my mind like this, or is it peace? Does my flesh just not want to do this, or is my spirit telling me not to do this? So we'll teach you and help you to get that clarity. But just to start off here tonight, it's peace. How does the Holy Ghost lead? By peace, that conscious, that peace, that feeling of velvety, green light, you know, restful sweetness there, just same way. It's like, I always use this story, and we'll close with this. You can even close your Bibles. Why do I tell you to do that? Because I think it'll make you pay attention more for the last story. Because in the back of your mind, you'll think, this is it. We can get through one more. We can do this. And I've told the story so many times, but it's such one that is so clear on going through those that checklist. Never, ever, ever violate what your spirit is saying. You don't know what the fallout could be, amen? And I told you about the summer that I worked for the oil and gas company in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania. And we had a project at a person's house putting in 6 to 8, I can't remember how many were, oil wells. And my job was to ride around all summer with this crazy guy that was like a replica of Hulk Hogan. We called him the Hulk. He was crazy. He drove a truck called the Grape. The Grape was this big purple Ford truck that we'd laugh because it'd get like 5 miles to the gallon. It just was a hog, you know? And I literally would have to pray and hold on to my seat when we go on the dirt roads in Sugar Grove because it was like riding with Mario Andretti, just zipping as fast as he can around these corners. And so many times I had just, oh my gosh, moments, you know, with him. And so it's at his house and things. And over the summer, I'd get there in the morning, you know, and then at lunch, I'd go to my vehicle and pull out my lunch and sit there. And working on his property, he had a Australian Shepherd dog that would just turn 1 year old named Cowboy. And they had other dogs on the property. And Cowboy, it was so obedient, it listened so well, was such a sweet dog and really took to me, would come and meet me at my truck and spend time with me and hang out, come on the job with me. Other dogs would be around and Cowboy would be running around. I almost said Cowboy would be laughing and playing with the other dogs. Yeah, maybe he was laughing, but I didn't hear Cowboy laugh. But he seemed happy, you know, playing with him, getting along with all the other animals. And Fred and his wife were an older couple, and they saw how Cowboy really took to me and thought, let's see if Mike wants to take Cowboy. Cowboy has a lot of energy, and you know, we're just too old. We can't really meet the needs of what this dog needs, and we're not super attached to it, you know. We'd love to bless him. So he brought it up to me. Well, as soon as he said something, instantly I had that yucky feeling in here. Now, this is where the problem is when your mind and your flesh are so loud. At that time, we hadn't been married very long, and right from the get-go of our marriage, my dad had a stroke in 2004 in April. We got married in June. And so he was home now from the nursing home. And instantly, we had to move in with him, take care of him, and we're put up in a upstairs super small place for our space because he needed the downstairs and the bathroom. And there's only one bathroom. It was an old farmhouse. And, you know, not to, just my dad had sickness, you know, there were things that I had to do and see and things in the house, you know, that messes and smell, you know, you can just imagine the things dealing with him and some of the things because I had to take full care of him, you know. And so that was an interesting way to start a marriage, you know. And one thing I felt pressure of, she always had a dog growing up. Always, never was without a dog. And so now here we are in this hard situation. And so I was thinking, what can I do to make her happy? Lord, help me. What can I do? You know? And I knew she always had a dog. So when he said that to me, my mind and emotions were like, yes, this is it. I know if I go home tonight and I say we're getting a dog, all will be better. And I had that check, so much that check in my spirit. Don't do it. Because there was already a Cocker Spaniel named Duke that somewhere in life started hating me and loving my dad. I bought the dog, took care of it. But then when my dad got sick, Duke was very important to my dad, helped my dad quite a bit. And so I heard that, thought, this is a godsend. This is wonderful, you know. And so, Fred, I had that unrest. I thought, I know not to do this, but my flesh, this is great. My mind, this is great. Well, what did I do? I was led by my flesh, my mind. Well, Cowboy was so, well, the first thing I did wrong is I knew, don't tell her anything about this dog. Do not say a word about this dog. I'm going home and I'm thinking how happy she's going to be and how great this is going to make everything. It's going to calm all this unrest that we have. And I opened my mouth. And of course, when I opened my mouth, sparks so much excitement in her because she's in a bad place here with this and wants a dog, whole life. She wants to go see the dog. And I, don't take her to see the dog. Because you see Cowboy, you're going to fall in love with Cowboy. Cowboy's so sweet and just a beautiful Australian Shepherd. Called Fred, said, can we come back up and see the dog? Oh, don't do it. Don't call Fred. Went through check after check, just knowing that this doesn't feel right. This isn't comfortable. Check after check after check after check. Open my big mouth. We'll take him. Well, then Fred, you know, being on a farm, dog had no shots, everything and anything was growing in the dog's hair and matted and knotted. And it's like, you know, took the dog to the groomer, took the dog to get shots. And after I paid over $500 and some, and let me tell you something, $500 and some is a lot of money to me now. $500 and some back then might as well have been $5,000 and some. But I'm doing anything to change this flow. What y'all laughing about? To change this flow, I'll do anything. Went to the groomer, shots, everything. Bring Cowboy home. All I saw was Cowboy playing nice with other dogs, friendly. We get Cowboy in. It sees Duke, the Cocker Spaniel. Now remember, my dad had a stroke. His mind is not right anymore. Doesn't take much to set, in certain situations with a stroke, it doesn't take much to set a person with a stroke off and put them in. I mean, there were times my dad would get mad at me and I knew because of the stroke, he ain't gonna talk to me for weeks. And it's just the way, I mean, it was kind of like that way before a stroke, but the stroke magnified things and it can throw in there. And so I have to do everything I can to not bring unrest to my dad because he's in a fragile spot, just got out of the hospital in the nursing home, he's home. And Duke means everything to him. And Cowboy sees Duke, and I never saw the look on Cowboy's face. The mouth went back, the teeth went up, and a growl and a sound and a bark, and Cowboy went bam right for Duke. And I don't know, had I not gotten in the way, you know, and stopped that, who knows what would have happened to Duke. But it caused unrest with my dad, and so instantly we knew we can't have this dog. And so I brought Cowboy back to the farm as pretty and healthy as Cowboy. I mean, that was the prettiest and healthiest dog in the state of Pennsylvania for a farm. I said, Fred, I'm so sorry. This is true. We can't have it. All of that could have been avoided if I just would have listened to the unrest. I didn't need a voice. I didn't need writing on the wall. I didn't need a dream. I didn't need a vision. I didn't need a prophet to say anything to me. God was talking to me by that lack of peace in my spirit. And so many times we violate this. And in those times, and this helps me, Dr. Dufresne would say this, the way I learned the most to follow the Holy Ghost is in the times I missed it. And I thought, praise God, there's hope for me then. And I'll tell you what, the times I've missed it, I look back and say, oh, I knew that voice. I walked right through that stop sign. I've learned now there's been times, don't make that call. Don't say that. And then it's like, fireworks shoot off. And it's like, you are trying to tell me. Don't do it. And that feeling, that's what we need to learn to obey. And that's what we need to learn to not forsake. Amen. So we're learning. Praise God. Thank you for your patience. We went almost an hour, but let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, you're helping us. We're learning things. And Father, you're trying to get us to be more skillful. And I just thank you for light and revelation for each person. Each person here that is born again and watching right now has the inward witness on the inside of them. The witness that gets testified to by the Holy Ghost. And we all have the opportunity to go forth and to never miss it, to never make a wrong decision, to never find ourselves in places of our own doing that was wrong and sets us back. We have the ability on the inside of us to get out of every problem we're in, every struggle, every hole we're in, every hole we've dug for ourselves. We have the ability, Father, but we need to learn to follow that leading. And Father, you're never leading us into the bad places. You're always leading us into good. So I pray for light and revelation and Father, for utterance in this series, that things that need to be said will be said, because this is literally life and death at times, prosperity and poverty, sickness and health, favor, not favor, joy and peace. It's all these things, Father, are hanging in the balance based on how we are led and what we do. So Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you for your precious word. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I know this is not pertaining to anyone in here, but if you're watching right now or in the future on the archives, say, wow, that sounds amazing to have God leading me and helping me and guiding me in everything, every single thing. It's available to you, but it first starts at the cross with receiving Jesus. Because Jesus said that it's not for the world, it's for the believer. And the way you become a believer, Jesus said, is believing on him and calling on his name, confessing him. And so if you're watching online, you say, I'm confused by this, I don't understand, please get a hold of me. There's a number on the website, there's an email on the website. Reach out to me. I'll tell you what this salvation's all about and how to get this inward witness in you to help you and to guide you and to lead you and to keep you from things. But if you say, you know what, I've never received Jesus, but I want to do so right now, you can do it right where you're at, right where you're watching right now. When we close this service, Jesus said, if you believe on me, John 3:16, you won't perish but have everlasting life. And in Romans 10 and verse 13, he said, if you call on my name, you'll be saved. So the believing comes first. The believing prompts you to call on his name. And once you do that, you are saved. And so when this service ends, you simply just cry out to him and declare John 3:16, your belief in him. And it would sound something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. That's crying out to him, calling on his name. I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll save you, cleanse you. You'll be born again. And the Holy Ghost will come on the inside and dwell with you, be in you and be with you. And then life can start getting real good. Praise God. So get a hold of me if you need help with that. And if you pray that for the first time, let me know as well. I want to get you started in some things. Let's just worship him and make sure that we're done tonight. Hallelujah. Let's just get in his presence for a second and wait on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you and magnify you. Yeah. Jeff, will you come forward about that? God is still dealing with me about that thing that we talk about, that financial thing. It's important that you obey this, that yes, what we talked about in the beginning about speaking to that, but also be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because what the Holy Ghost just showed me by the word of knowledge is that to get into that, there's going to be steps and things that you need to take that are not evident to your mind and your understanding, but the Holy Ghost knows. And the Holy Ghost will guide you and the Holy Ghost will direct you to make the right moves and the right decisions, and it'll clear all this up and it'll get you into that increase that belongs to you. In Jesus' name, receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you and praise you. We thank you for these things. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you. We love you. We just spend time with you, Father. We're thrilled to be in your presence. We wait on you, Father. We wait in your presence to make sure. We know there's a preaching of the word, but we're also a spirit church as well. And not that you have to have a move every time. I'm not saying that, but we want to give place to it. So here we are, waiting on you, Father. We glorify you and magnify you and praise you and bless you. We worship you. We love you. We are anointed to be led. Praise God. I hear the voice of God clearly. Praise God. I know what to do. Praise God. I have answers. I'm led by the Spirit. I qualify to be led by God. I'm anointed to be led by God. I'm anointed to hear from heaven. Praise God. I'm anointed with clarity to hear from heaven. Praise God. Worship you, Father. Bless you. We bless you. Father, I don't say this to cast a shadow of condemnation or guilt to people. But Father, there's a whole lot of people that should be here. That these four services alone would change things for them. But Father, there's even people within our churches that are so casual and apathetic towards the word that I can even stand up there on a Sunday morning and encourage people to check in with their mail. But Father, they're not receiving this precious knowledge and information that's going to change all of our lives. It's going to change my life. I just know it is. And because of that, Father, they will go without. And so I don't want that, and I know you don't. So Father, we lift up as a church those people that maybe just aren't. And just because they're not here doesn't mean they're in this category. We know there's people that can't be here, but we also know by the Spirit, there's people that can be and should be. And they're just, the reason they're not is, it's just too difficult, too much of an inconvenience, too much, don't want to change their life around. And And then just laziness, won't even go back and listen to it. Father, those are the people I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the ones that absolutely can't be here and are checking in with archives. Father, we understand there's life and situations. I'm talking about the ones, Father, that have no revelation, no knowledge or understanding of what they're missing out and how lackadaisical and apathetic. I pray for them that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened and that they would know some things. And Father, that light and revelation would be upon them. And Father, that there would be a fire in them that would be stoked. Fan the flames, Father. May there be a hunger that would grow in them. Because Father, I know by the Holy Ghost, there's people that already have made up their mind, I will never come to a Wednesday service, regardless if my schedule will allow me or not. I will never check in with archives when I miss a service. And life and death is being shared. And they're going without, and they don't even know it. They don't even recognize it. They just think it's normal, and it's not normal, Father. So we lift those people up to you, Father. We don't stand in a place of judgment. We don't cast a shadow of condemnation. But we pray for light and revelation for those people. And we say, hungry hearts will fill this place. We say, souls will be stirred. Flames will be fanned, praise God. And hunger will grow, and light and revelation will come, and people will make the right choices. We make power available for those people. And Father, we thank you for the changes. We thank you for the changes. And Father, may we never get casual. May we never lose our hunger. May we never give in to the leadings of the flesh and the mind to go that way, Father. No, we stand tonight. We say we're hungry. We love you. We receive all that you have for us. We praise you. Let's stand up and worship him and glorify him before we close. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. We praise you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. I could not love you more. Appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday. You are dismissed. Glory to God.